Good morning, it's April 24th, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. In a courtroom in New York, the hush money trial of former President Trump unfolds, spotlighting payments made to silence allegations of affairs. This trial is drawing attention not just for its high-profile defendant, but for its roster of key witnesses, each with potentially pivotal insights into the events at the heart of the proceedings. The case centers on payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, aimed at keeping them quiet about alleged affairs with Trump. Witnesses like Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, David Pecker, the ex-publisher of the National Enquirer, Hope Hicks, former Trump campaign press secretary, and Alan Weisselberg, the Trump Organization's former CFO, are set to provide testimony. Their insights could illuminate the mechanics of the hush money payments and Trump's involvement. David Pecker's testimony about efforts to suppress negative stories about Trump underscores his role in the former president's rise, while Hope Hicks might offer a direct line into Trump's communications with Cohen regarding the hush money. Weisselberg's involvement in arranging reimbursements to Cohen for the payment further entangles the Trump Organization's financial dealings in the case. The trial's dynamics are tense, with the judge warning Trump's lawyer about losing credibility over arguments against punishing Trump for violating a gag order. This, coupled with the threat of fines for Trump's non-compliance, highlights the legal challenges he faces. As the trial adjourns for the Passover holiday, its resumption promises more developments with Trump's political future and potential candidacy in the upcoming election against President Joe Biden hanging in the balance. The courtroom awaits the judge's decision on fining Trump for the gag order violation, a ruling that could set a precedent for the trial's conduct moving forward. In a wave of activism sweeping across prestigious universities such as Columbia University and New York University, pro-Palestinian activists are making headlines. Their demands? Divestment from Israeli assets and a call to reverse disciplinary actions tied to their cause. This movement gains momentum in the shadow of the recent Hamas terrorist attack on Israel and the ongoing conflict in Gaza, sparking protests that resonate with calls for an Intifada revolution and are laden with anti-Israel sentiments, notably at a rally in New York City's Washington Square Park. The reaction to these protests has been swift and significant. The Israeli consulate in New York City has voiced grave concerns over a surge in anti-Semitic incidents within educational institutions. Echoing this sentiment, the Biden administration's education chief has publicly denounced the increasing tide of both anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim hate plaguing college campuses. These developments underscore a broader challenge faced by universities across the nation, balancing the imperative of safety with the principles of free speech, a tightrope walk that has led to more stringent disciplinary measures against the backdrop of heightened tensions. In response to this escalating situation, universities are not standing idly by. Engaging in dialogue with protesters, these institutions are striving to foster a climate of understanding and respect. Their goal is clear: to navigate through these turbulent times and secure a peaceful conclusion to the academic term. This concerted effort reflects a commitment to addressing the issues head-on, ensuring that the educational environment remains a space for constructive discourse and learning. In a move that underscores the U.S.'s strategic priorities and concerns over digital security, the Senate is on the brink of passing a $95.3 billion foreign aid package that targets aid towards Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, while also taking a firm stance against Iran, Russia, and the digital operations of foreign adversaries on U.S. soil. This package, notable for its bipartisan support, not only strengthens military alliances, but also ventures into the realm of digital security and economic sanctions. The heart of this package is its substantial military support for Ukraine, earmarked at $60.8 billion. This funding is specifically directed to bolster Kyiv's defense capabilities, including a significant increase in American-made missiles. This move is part of a broader strategy to support Ukraine amidst ongoing conflicts, highlighting the U.S.'s commitment to its allies in times of need. Beyond military aid, the package introduces new sanctions against Iran and Russia, reinforcing the U.S.'s stance against these nations' activities that counter American interests. These sanctions are part of a wider effort to apply pressure and respond to geopolitical challenges. A critical and potentially transformative aspect of the aid package is its approach to addressing concerns over digital security and espionage. A measure included in the package could set the stage for a nationwide ban on TikTok, driven by fears that the app's Chinese ownership could pose a threat to national security. This legislation, if passed, would require ByteDance to divest TikTok's U.S. operations. The implications of such a move are vast, not only for TikTok and its user base, but also for the broader social media landscape, potentially opening doors for companies like Meta Platforms to adjust their market strategies. As the Senate moves towards a final vote, the outcome of this aid package will undoubtedly have far-reaching implications, from the battlefields of Ukraine to the digital screens of American TikTok users. With President Biden's signature, these initiatives could soon become law, marking a significant moment in U.S. foreign policy and digital governance. In a landmark decision, the U.S. Justice Department has reached a significant settlement in a case that has reverberated through the world of sports and beyond. The settlement addresses the egregious sexual abuse perpetrated by Larry Nassar, marking a pivotal moment of accountability and support for the victims. The Justice Department has finalized a $138.7 million settlement for over 100 victims of sexual abuse by Larry Nassar, a figure that has shocked and saddened many. This settlement brings the total compensation for Nassar's victims to over $1 billion, a staggering sum that underscores the extent of the abuse and the number of lives affected. Contributions to this fund have also come from Michigan State University and the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, highlighting the widespread recognition of the harm caused and the need for restitution. The fallout from this case has prompted significant changes in the world of gymnastics, with the International Gymnastics Federation adopting a new code of conduct aimed at preventing such abuses in the future. This development signals a commitment to creating a safer environment for athletes at all levels. The FBI has come under fire for its mishandling of the initial accusations against Nassar, with the agency admitting to a failure in acting on known allegations for over a year. The FBI's director has issued a public apology and has expressed regret over the agency's inaction, particularly noting the impact on survivors. This acknowledgement came in the wake of heartfelt testimonies from Olympic medalists Simone Biles, Ali Raisman, and Michaela Maroney, whose courage in speaking out has been a beacon for change. This settlement is more than just a financial agreement. It represents a crucial step forward in the healing process for the victims. It also serves as a stark reminder of the need for vigilance and accountability in protecting athletes and supporting survivors. In a tragic incident that has shaken a Michigan community, 66-year-old Marcella Marie Chittister faces charges of second-degree murder and driving under the influence after her SUV crashed into a local boat club, leaving two children dead and 13 others injured. This case has sparked a debate between claims of a medical emergency and allegations of intoxication leading to the catastrophic event. On the day in question, Chittister's vehicle became a deadly force, transforming a place of leisure into a scene of devastation. The defense argues that a seizure was the cause of the crash, a claim supported by Chittister's attorney, who highlighted her history of seizures and noted that she had experienced one on the day of the crash. Contrarily, prosecutors maintain that intoxication was the true culprit, pointing to Chittister's consumption of wine and chili at a local tavern hours before the incident. In the aftermath, the community's response has been a powerful testament to solidarity and compassion. A GoFundMe campaign swiftly mobilized, raising over $178,000 to cover medical expenses and funeral costs for the victims. Meanwhile, the Monroe County Sheriff's Office continues its investigation, urging anyone with information to come forward. As Chittister entered a not guilty plea, the court set her bond at $1.5 million. If convicted, she faces a life sentence, a stark reminder of the gravity of the charges against her. This case not only highlights the legal battle ahead, but also underscores the profound impact of the tragedy on the victims' families and the broader community. This has been your daily brief in U.S. News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.